Thoughts on it.
Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to do an Instagram live Q&A and take the questions and put them straight onto the podcast. So this is going to be unedited, raw, unfiltered, and going straight onto the podcast in its truest form. So again, any feedback on this would be amazing. This is a completely different thing that I've done. This is my first time doing a direct live podcast via Instagram. So be sure to DM me on Instagram, let me know on Snapchat or Facebook, Brian Keane Fitness, or Snapchat, Brian Keane 019, and let me know what you guys think. Enjoy. Okay, hello Instagram. Okay, so we're in shot. And we're getting people joining on Instagram now, so we'll be rock and rolling. Okay, Instagram, doing something a little bit different now. I'm going to do a Q&A on Instagram, and I'm going to put it directly into a podcast episode. So any questions you can, fire it out, and they're going to go on to the podcast. That'll be out in a 2 weeks' time, 3 weeks' time. Ronan C4, bran flakes as a breakfast option. I'm not a massive fan of bran flakes as a breakfast option. Any traditional cereals, your bran flakes, your Weetabix, your corn flakes, I think you can factor them into a plan and they work very well for some people, but I wouldn't start your day off with them. Again, context is key, and depending on each person's goal, it's going to be very specific to them. But my advice would be that if you're trying to change your body composition, you're trying to lose body fat, improve sporting performance, or building muscle, I'd probably start your day off with something that's going to balance your blood sugars. And if you've been training or following a training program, some form of amino acid to speed up recovery. You're very insulin sensitive first time thing in the morning, so it means your body's going to absorb carbohydrates better. So what I would do is I would probably start your day off with some porridge, eggs, protein pancakes, some variation. In my top 50 program, I've got variations of different meals, and I would probably do that, and then factor in your bran flakes and your traditional cereals later on in the day when it's not as important for insulin sensitivity, getting blood sugar balanced, and amino acids for recovery. Thoughts on reducing caffeine? So Gary C198, caffeine's incredible and used in a sense of athletic performance or to increase lipolysis, so your body's able to release more fat from its cells, which is why caffeine works so well as a fat burner. And you'll see caffeine is the first ingredient in nearly every traditional fat burner. I think limiting it back and then using it sparingly is probably the most effective way to do it. Personally, I try and keep my caffeine purely before training, so I get the best bang for my buck when I do use it. Or if I have some really important task during the day that I need to get a blog post written, when I was writing the book, I was drinking a lot more coffee. And when I'm doing a batch in videos or I've got podcasts, I may have a cup of coffee just to give that caffeine hit. But if you can minimize the amount you take in, it's going to give you a better bang for your buck when you actually do use it. MDMA will never be legal. If you have done it before, you'd know it won't be legal. So that's in reference to my Snapchat yesterday that MDMA, they're doing trials now for MDMA for people with depression. It's some of the it's trials in the US. So MDMA is like ecstasy, but in its purest form. And what it does is it releases serotonin in the brain. And people that have physiological issues with depression sometimes can have an issue with the precursor serotonin or have an issue with the neurotransmitter serotonin so that they're not going to be able to feel as happy. And they're doing trials now with low-dose MDMA to try and lift people's mood that have long-term depression. And I said on my Snapchat yesterday that it's possibly going to be legal in a few years' time by prescription for people with depression. Again, I have no idea. I think it was the Stealing Fire book by Stephen Kotler where he was talking about the studies. I have no idea. The thing is, I can only say is things that are illegal are only illegal until they're not. Remember, alcohol was illegal in prohibition times in the States, and now it's legal. So things are only illegal. Marijuana was illegal open nearly everywhere, and now California legalized it there a couple of years ago, and now you can go in off the street and buy it with prescription. So things are only illegal until they're not. Best tips for adding veg into diet. Struggle with this a lot. So the best tips I would offer for adding veg to your diet is, first, obviously, find the ones you like and then eat more of those. I usually use a lot of spinach because spinach is just so easy. You can buy it. I usually just buy an organic bag of spinach and then I can just add it to meals, and it's a really easy way to get greens in. If you're not eating a lot of veg, I'd probably hedge your bets with a strong green supplement. I use the Body Ecology Super Greens, and I add that to my smoothie every morning, and it's another good way to kind of hedge my bets. So hopefully that helps loads. Sean Begley, love you. Thank you, Sean. So a little bit of a different one. Guys, any questions I ask on this as well is going straight into the podcast. So I'm recording the podcast here, hence the green screen in the background for anyone watching on video. And any of these are going to go back into the podcast. So all those boys for Ibiza, any tips for getting as lean as possible before we head off? So Matthew, what I would do if you're planning to head off to Ibiza is I would really double down on your training sessions and getting your nutrition right over the next 2-3 weeks or whenever it is you're going. And what I would do there, and there was a time in my life when that's what I lived for. I lived for my lads' holidays away, and I was living a very different lifestyle to what I do now. I was heavy into that party scene. But what I would do, and I did this, was I used to drop my carbohydrates back really low. And this is obviously dependent on each person's metabolism. But for me, I don't do as well with carbohydrates as fats. So I would scale them back to 30 to 50 grams a day. I keep my fats moderate, protein high, and then I used to try and double up my sessions. So I used to work full time as a primary school teacher, and I was living that lifestyle, fucking if anyone knew. And I was working full time as a primary school teacher. I used to train in the morning, I'd go to school, and then I used to train again in the PM for the 2 weeks before I'd go away, and that used to lend itself to me getting a lot leaner before I went. Another thing that you can hack that works very well, and people that come through my top 50 program that don't have the time or can't prioritize the time to train twice, is cutting out your traditional cardio and adding in finishers. So high intensity workouts that are a mixture between weights, plyometrics, and body weight, working for tension, so you're elevating your heart rate really, really high, 70% or above of your max heart rate is your quote unquote fat burning zone, which is 220 minus your age. So doing that tends to get you into a fat burning zone, but putting in finishers, you can also tear more fibers, which means you'll elevate your metabolism so that you're hitting it from both sides. That's something that works really, really well. So enjoy your trip to Ibiza. What did you make of the paper one essay titles? I didn't see them. So that's in reference to the leave insert. Didn't see them. Haven't been trained in a couple of months. Any tips to get back into training, Fiona? So Fiona, what I would do if you haven't been training for a while, one of two things. If you haven't had a plan and you just took a break off, I'd probably get yourself back into a program or a plan, or create your own program or plan, or work with somebody and get yourself back on track and ease yourself in. If you were doing a program before you took the break, I'd probably just go back on that program that you were following, and I'd ease yourself back into it. You're not going to finish off and be as strong or as fit as you were before you took the break. So that's why I would ease yourself in. If you're using a scale, the RPE scale, which is rate of perceived exertion, so 10 being flat out killing it, 1 being just out of bed, I'd probably ease back in at a 6 or 7 for a week or two, and then gradually increase it until you're back at the level of intensity that you were at before you took the break, and then get your nutrition on point, get your recovery on point, and you'll be able to progress back again. Eldenin, I'm having surgery and won't be able to train for a while. Should I still eat a calorie deficit to lose fat, or maintenance to maintain all the muscle I have? Don't want to lose muscle, gain weight. It really depends, Aideen, on what your priority is. I probably would eat around maintenance, and I would or a slight deficit, but keep my protein high to try and maintain and feed some of the muscle that I have. Some of it's going to atrophy. Like atrophy is the opposite to hypertrophy. Like hypertrophy is tearing fibers and building them back. Atrophy is when the muscle size reduces, and what can happen when you go for surgery and you're just inactive on the muscle, they can atrophy and get smaller. Keeping your protein higher and your branched amino acid higher can help this, but there's nothing that's going to completely stop it atrophying, because you're not stimulating the muscle, you're not tearing new fibers, so it's going to get smaller. So what I would probably do in that situation, so you don't have body fat, is eat a slight deficit or at maintenance, but make up your calories through a slightly higher protein intake until you're back training, and then scale back up your carbs and then scale back up your fats, is what I would do. Binny, I'm running Dublin Marathon. What are the best weight exercises to be doing to improve my running? I found I was working with a marathon runner who was doing the, I can't remember what it's called, but it's where you do 32 marathons in every county in Ireland. And one of the things that worked very well for him, and he came through my program, was high volume squats and a heavy focus on muscular endurance through the legs. So a lot of volume, a lot of lunges, a lot of presses, a lot of squats with higher volume, 15, 20 reps, and he would sometimes do tri-sets and giant sets. So what I do when people that come through my Top 50 program is, depending on their specific goals, I adjust the training to each person. That's why my Top 50 program is where I track it myself with Q&As, and Emma's working full-time as my coach, and for people Monday to Friday. So one of the things I would do there, for example, if you were my program, is you'd have a lot more higher volume on your legs to build up your muscular endurance with those movements. Best fat loss workouts in curly. The best way to lose body fat is always going to be getting into a calorie deficit through your nutrition. So nutrition's always going to be number one. But in terms of actual fat loss workouts, my personal preference is working for more tension on the muscle, tearing more fiber so you're able to elevate your metabolism so you burn more calories while you rest, and then timing your workout so you do your cardio after when your glycogen is more depleted and allows you to tap into fat stores more efficiently. So I normally do tension style training first on a body part or whatever body parts I'm choosing. I love push-pull legs, which is push movements, pull movements, leg movements, followed by high intensity cardio with possibly some steady state at the end. It depends on levels of body fat and starting points, but nutrition is going to be key, and then it's going to be about keeping a higher intensity. Another way to hack that for fat loss workouts is to reduce your rest times. You know, do 30 seconds, 40 seconds, 60 seconds if you're doing tri-sets or giant sets. Keep your intensity high, keep your heart rate up, keep tension on the muscle during the workout, and you're going to get the best bang for your buck assuming your nutrition's on point. When was the last time you had fast food? So Connor, I actually just did a podcast episode and I answered your question. Last time I had fast food was when I was on a J1, when I was 19, traveling the south coast of California. And I did a lot of educating on myself for nutrition after that because I got fat. Like, I wasn't training and I got really out of shape and my brain wasn't working that well, but I was eating fast food like nearly every day. And then when I educated myself on trans fatty acids and the effect on health, the effect on actual fat deposits. What happens with trans fatty acids is because if you see the chemical makeup of a fat and a trans fatty acid, the hydrogen ion is actually upside down. Trans fats, fast food, hydrogenated oils, trans is the Latin word for opposite side. So basically the hydrogen ion is on the opposite side. So what happens is when you consume those foods, your body doesn't recognize what they are and they shuttle them into visceral fat stores, fat over the organs so that you're safe and they keep them away from your vital organs so your body doesn't think it's getting poisoned. That's effectively broken down what works. I have a section of that in my book as well on the fats to avoid. So check that out when the book comes out. But that's one of the reasons that I avoid it now and I haven't eaten in probably 10 years. Best tips on building GA fitness. Depends on where you're weak. I would always prioritize, so in my GA Lean Body program, and I'll use that because it'll give context to this answer, is I build the program, the training section, because there's so many variations of the training program, it's around each person's specific goals. If your actual aerobic fitness is down, you do more metabolic conditioning. If your actual speed is down, you're trying to speed up, you do more strength and conditioning, getting your glutes to fire. If it's your actual strength and size that needs improvement because you're losing the ball when you get hit with tackles, you'll do more hypertrophy and strength. So wherever you're weak, I'd build your program around improving that area. I'm definitely being ignored. Keith, you're not being ignored. Just keep literally posting any question that I get. And anyone I answer here, you guys are going on the podcast. I'm recording the podcast in the background here because there's loads of people coming in. So posted my question 9 times. The 2 not mine in the middle got answered. Post it again, Keith, and I will answer it next time. Keith, I'll just keep posting the question. The probabilities will work in my favor. I haven't seen Keith's answer. Keith, I can't find your question. Opinions on protein shake. I think they work amazingly well at either flushing your muscles with amino acids after training or after a long fasted state in the morning, or my favorite way to use them as a stopgap between meals. So for example, people that come through my program, one of my favorite ways to use it is obviously get your nutrition on point. And then if there's a time during the day when you're like, I can't get a protein source in here, or I can't get a meal in here because of work or life or whatever it is that gets in the way, a protein shake with amino acids is a great time to get it in. And that's where supplements come in. Supplements will supplement what you're missing in your nutrition. So that's what's going to be key. In regard to low fat, low sugar foods, would you recommend them or full fat regular versions? From research, do you think people should be worried about the chemicals used to replace flavors, etc.? 100% Jillian, or Jillolers on Instagram. Yeah, I think I would always opt personally for the full fat. I would always opt for the food that is closest to its original form as possible. I personally think that the additives, the chemicals, the preservatives, the flavorings are way fucking worse for your body than the actual fat content and sugar content in foods. Your body, you gotta remember, these chemicals, these preservatives, these hormones, these things that are added to food are very, very, very new. Your body is not evolved to adapt to these foods that have only, and preservatives that have only been around for 20 years. So all the negative effects that they're gonna have, sending your body into an anxiety state or a worrisome state or a fight or flight state, all of these things can happen. I know myself that when I eat processed foods or foods with chemicals or too much preservatives or additives in them, I get really, really edgy for no reason. I've had issues in history with anxiety myself and worry, and I do find that sometimes my head's always running in the future, but when I cut those foods, a lot of that disappeared. So I personally they would always opt for the food as close to its original form as possible. Fruit other than post-workout, bad for you? I think it depends. It depends on the context. I think fruit is one of these foods, and I actually wrote that there's a section in this in the book as well, on the carbohydrate section, on is fruit good or bad. Fruit is context dependent. All fruit is different because of the speed at which it's digested. Most fruit has what's called fructose, which again, the absorption rate of how quickly that food converts to glucose, which basically means the speed at which it converts to glucose and how quickly it gives you energy. Simple sugars give you energy fast. Complex carbohydrates give you energy slowly. Different fruits have different effect on energy and sugar release and blood sugar levels. So for example, things like banana have a mixture of fructose and glucose, so it can give you a pretty quick energy release. Things like dates have are nearly pure glucose, so they give you a very instant hit of energy. Things like apples are highly fructose, so they're slower. So they are, than the fiber content, it means that it gives you a slower release of energy. So there's no one fruit. They have very, very different effects on the body. I have fruit included in my online programs, but the timings are going to be key. The only ones I would avoid are the ones that are going to massively spike insulin levels unless you're taking them directly after a workout. But again, it depends on the context of each person. You've no muscle, pal. You've small arms.
Oh, well.
I don't know what to say to that. Why do rugby players bench press? Probably because you're going to get a lot of power in that movement. So when people are doing handoffs and they're breaking through tackles, you're going to build a lot of upper body strength. And the bench press and probably military press are probably the two best movements for rugby players because of the explosiveness you need when you're breaking through tackles. So I would imagine that's probably why they do it. Is it normal to get lethargic after eating pasta for lunch? Yes, and particularly the type of pasta you eat. Two things can happen. If you're eating white pasta, you can get a blood sugar rise and then a crash, which means you're lethargic and lacking energy after that meal. Or secondly, you're one of these people that doesn't digest carbs as well as fats, and that can lead to an energy slump. For example, I don't digest carbs as well. Most people will tend to digest carbohydrates better or to digest fats better. It very much depends on each person's metabolism. I can drop my carbs very, very low and keep my fats high and feel amazing. If I flip that and go high carb and low fat, I get lethargic, I get watery, my brain doesn't work as well, so my body works better off fats. If you're somebody that's eating pasta, and assuming you don't have a gluten intolerance or don't have an intolerance to that food, it may be a case that your body just doesn't need those carbs at that time. If it's white, it could be because your blood sugars are dropping too low. And if it's a case that your body digests better with fats, you're probably better just to keep carbs out of that lunch meal for energy levels. How much can you deadlift? How much can you bench? I have no idea. I don't work for strength in terms of traditional powerlifting strength. The only time I would ever lift heavy, which is like 5 reps or 4 reps, would be when I was doing a strength phase of, I say, my GEA program. But I'm not a powerlifter, so I never lift for 1 rep maxes. Probably not a lot. Looking to lose 3 stone by September, doing HIIT workouts in the morning and running around 8 miles in the evening, but don't have time for both anymore. Which would be better for fat loss? Nutrition is going to be key here, Pete. So assuming that you're in a calorie deficit and you're dropping, your nutrition's on point in terms of your carbohydrates, your fats, your protein, and you're consuming a calorie deficit, so you're not eating too much food, it's probably, there's not one that's going to be better or worse. I would imagine the one that your body's least used to is probably going to have the best physical response. So if you're someone, for example, that is on their feet all day and is always moving around, you're probably going to get a better response by just doing high intensity interval training than doing 8 miles. For example, I'm always on my feet, I'm pretty active during the day, so walking on a treadmill doesn't do a lot for my body composition. I have to do high intensity workouts for my body to respond. So I would ask yourself what you're doing mostly during the day. Both could work amazingly well. I would trial both, but it really, really depends on what's going to work best for you and kind of your lifestyle around it. More volume per exercise, example 6 to 8 sets, or more exercises, 4 to 5 sets. It depends on what your goals are. If your goal is to build more muscle, stick within hypertrophy parameters. So 3 to 4 sets, 8 to 10 reps. If your goals are on strength, you're probably gonna have a little bit more sets. So 5 to 6 sets, 3 to 4 reps, but it very much depends on your specific goals. Is it true green tea increases your metabolism? Green tea, the drink, even matcha, which is the strongest green tea, as far as any studies that I've read, doesn't have a direct impact on metabolism. The compound that's in green tea extract, the supplement, which is EGCG, it's the compound within that extract, that's concentrated enough to have a positive effect on metabolism. So that's why when I say take green tea extract for fat burning and increase your metabolism, which effectively means you burn more calories through the day because you'll be able to have a higher energy expenditure, that comes from the supplement form because the EGCG compound that elevates metabolism is more concentrated in supplement as opposed to just the tea. The tea is an amazing drink, digestion, antioxidants, and all the health stuff, which may secondarily affect metabolism through vital organs functioning better. But as far as anything that I've read, it doesn't have a direct impact. And also when I consume it, I never get any leaner. But when I take the EGCG, green tea extract supplement, my body composition always changes. Best time to take creatine. Personally, I normally just take it whenever I remember, in terms of first thing in the morning and post-workout for me, because there are times I remember. It doesn't matter as much because once you saturate the muscle cell with creatine, it doesn't matter what time it got saturated at because it's going to be pulling water underneath that muscle throughout the day. As long as you're being consistent with the timings, that's what's going to be the most important thing. Best form of creatine in your opinion? I really like the one I'm using now, which is Smart Creatine. It's creatine monohydrate with fenugreek and pink Himalayan salt as a creatine transporter. Creatine monohydrate by itself needs a transporter to get the full absorption into the muscle. I think it's 40% without a transporter, which just means you're wasting a lot of your money with monohydrate if you don't have a transporter. But I do like the one I'm taking now. Ethyl ester is probably going to be my favorite because it's the same prices as monohydrate. It just tastes horrible. But creatine ethyl ester, creatine trimalate, creatine hydrochloride, they all have esters or something attached to them to help them deliver into the muscle without a transporter. What's the money like in PTing? The same as everything. The best people make the most money. So the people that are at the top of their game and are the best at what they do make the most money because they charge the highest fee and they have the most clients, the most leads, the most retention, the most referrals, the most word of mouth. That goes across the board for everything. Whether you're a dentist, a hairdresser, a personal trainer, a makeup artist. If you're the best at what you do, you'll command a higher fee. You'll have more business. You'll have more leads. You'll have more clients. You'll have more referrals. You'll have all the things that come with it. So it depends on the person. If you're a terrible PT, the money's terrible. If you're an amazing PT, the money's amazing. Same as most jobs. How long green tea extract to work, best time and take, and how much to take? So Mark, it depends on your actual body weight for green tea extract, but the general rule is 500 milligrams to 1,000 milligrams. Most of my girls, I start off at 500 milligrams. The guys, if you're 75 kilos or above, I'll start at 1,000 milligrams, and then kind of taper it around that, but that's kind of the sweet spot for most. Esli, how did you get it off the ground? So how I got my PT business off the ground was I started training clients for free. So I literally got a group of people that I knew wanted to make a change to the composition. I trained them for free in exchange for before and after and a testimony. And then I used that before and after and a testimony and the referrals that they gave when people started commenting on how good they looked. They were like, well, I work with Brian. And then I built clients that way. And then I started posting the before and after and testimonies to social media. I had no social media when I started. And I started posting them on my personal Facebook page. And I had inquiries then, and I built up the business that way. So yeah, that's how I did that. Predictions for Mayo versus Galway. Okay, by the time this podcast goes out, we'll see if I'm right. I gotta say Galway, don't I? Really? Every time. Awesome. Okay, we are 24 minutes into the podcast now, so I'm going to leave it there for now. So a massive thank you to everyone that posted the questions. Every question that came up here, it's going to be going on to my podcast episode. So a massive thank you to you guys. And stay tuned on the podcast, Brian Keane Fitness. Everyone I answered, this is literally going straight up on there. So thanks again. I'll catch you guys soon.